Hello, and welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. Today, we get to know a new sponsor of the site, Infoblox, as we're joined by Lori Kornmesser, Vice President of Worldwide Partner and Alliance Sales at the company, to discuss what they're up to and how they work with partners. We talk about who Infoblox are, what markets they work on, the opportunities she sees as key today, and of course, we go deep on the go-to-market, their overall partner strategy, the partner program for today and plans for tomorrow, the incentives they provide, and how they culturally approach partnering. We discuss their distribution partnership with Synnex in Canada, and what makes a good Infoblox partner. And we find out why a company that already does 95% of its business through partners still feels the need to teach its people about Channel 101 concepts. It's a great conversation, so let's get right into it. My chat with Lori Kornmesser. Lori, thanks so much for taking the time and joining us on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. We're excited to be here.
Because this is your first time in Infoblox's first time on the podcast, wanted to sort of start with a little bit of kind of getting to know you kind of stuff. And can you just tell me a little bit about Infoblox and kind of, I guess, the elevator pitch on the company and the role you play in the IT world and in the channel?
Absolutely. So, Infoblox has been around for a number of years. Our primary mission is that we're empowering organizations to kind of manage their continuous, evolving, growing networks simply and securely. At a high level, that's what we do. So we have offerings in core networking services, cybersecurity, and cloud networking automation. We deal with about 8,000 customers around the globe, and we've got about 50% market share in the customers that we engage with. And so our offerings, our core markets are in DDI, which includes DNS, DHCP, and IPAM, right, which is kind of delivering the business critical networking services. And then we have a core set of offerings around security, which really protect the business in the new threat landscape. And then, of course, cloud, which is kind of enabling the platform for the next gen data centers.
Okay. And what about go-to-market? What does Infoblox's go-to-market look like in terms of the channel?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been my honor and privilege to be with the company for just over 2 years. 95% of our business goes through the channel. And as Infoblox continues to kind of step into the channel as their primary route to market, we'll continue to see this track, even further closer to the 100%.
I was going to say, if you're just stepping into it at 95%, that's a pretty good step.
Yeah, it absolutely is. But, part of that step is 95% of that business was already transacting through a partner. And part of what we're trying to get to now is just making sure we've got right partners kind of in the right places and doing the right things, right? And making sure that we're getting lift from the channel as well, right? So it's not just transactional, but it's a pretty good step, a good starting point, right? For sure.
All right. So speaking of getting value from that channel, can you tell me a little bit about the group of partners you work with in terms of what they look like? What's the target partner for Infoblox and what kind of things make for a good Infoblox partner?
Yeah. We've got over 1,000 partners in our ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And the way that we, our solutions offer partners to engage based on their expertise, the market coverage, and the customers that they serve. So this includes MSPs, VARs, as well as distribution as an overall coverage model. And as we think about our pivot and strength in cloud and SaaS, we're introducing different partnerships and kind of expanding our existing partnerships as well.
Okay. Tell me a bit about the partner program that's in place today, what it looks like and where it kind of drives its value.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a value-based program. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I always look at as a channel chief coming into a new company is you don't want to make a lot of changes. And sometimes channel chiefs try to find something very quick to change, and that's always the program, and that's never been my belief. I think if things are kind of working well, let's not change it. Mm-hmm. And so they had a really good baseline for a partner program. It was a value-based program. It has three levels in the program that allows partners to come in, and we have authorized gold and platinum partners in that program. And that allows for those that are looking to just transact with us and sort of continue to kind of build on their portfolio. And as they have a deeper understanding of our portfolio, they start to scale. Part of what differentiates us in this program is we give different incentives based on teaming and hunting. Obviously, you know, the biggest thing for me is about the channel lift. What's the contribution that together with the partners that we can bring to the organization around getting us into new markets, getting us into new customers, because that creates the flywheel, right? That creates the success that we're looking for at the field level. So we do give additional discounts based on teaming. And differentiated discounts based on hunting, which means that the partner family opportunity and they're bringing us into it, versus teaming, which means that it's identified and we're going to go after that opportunity together.
Okay. You touched there on the sort of the differentiation that you offer to partners through the program, and any other ways that you differentiate to the channel, as well as what do you see as the differentiator, the secret sauce for Infoblox to the broader market? It's a crowded mm-hmm. space, obviously.
Yeah. We've announced a series of kind of new investment pieces that we're doing. I think one of the things that we've done is in our certification and training, we've expanded that and simplified that. That comes in channel speak as well, right? Which means that we take that curriculum and we're thinking about the partner in terms of how we develop it and how we launch it. So being cognizant of the time that it will take to certify, because certification becomes one of the requirements of the program levels. Mm-hmm. And so we're very, very thoughtful about that. And we've kept that free, by the way, that training and investment piece, because that only makes us stronger together, right, in terms of their competency. The other piece that we've done just from a partnering program standpoint is we've had a series of new things that we've launched around new logos. We've doubled the rewards on our current SPIF program around new logos that that we've launched, and that's going to continue through the end of the year, and if we do it right, hopefully through the next year as well. And so we definitely have done that as well. The other thing that we've done is we've extended our 100% discount on partner, what we're calling not for resale, or the ability to take the Infoblox product and be able to put it into your lab and trial it, because that's an important step in getting the partners comfortable with our product and being able to see how it fits into the solution. So we've extended 100% discount for distributors, platinum and gold partners in this area as well, so that they can continue to build their competency around Infoblox and the ways that it kind of fits into the solutions that they're bringing to the market as well.
Okay. Like so many other aspects of business life, everything, the networking market has seen changes as a result of COVID-19. Can you maybe talk a little bit about how you've seen COVID-19 impact Infoblox's business and the business of your partners?
You know, COVID-19, this has been just hugely strange for all of us, right? I mean, it kind of took the world by storm. And I'm just so impressed with Infoblox, and I've been equally impressed with our partners about how they've been able to navigate that. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest pieces of our core values at Infoblox is, you know, we've remained committed to our partners. Mm-hmm. We're taking action to ensure business continuity. And we have continued to work with our partners, while it be on the financing or the different pieces of customer engagement, so that we're kind of sharing in the risk together. But, in addition to that, we offered a series of tools and incentives to to kind of address the challenging times. And one of the things that we did is we offered a free trial of our Blocks One Threat Defense Advanced and Cloud to our partners to ensure that they could, comfortably manage through the work from home environments and feel safe in their environments by just leveraging that product. And that came, partners, the feedback that we had was just really, really thankful. And I tell you, one of the greatest pieces of feedback that I received from one of our top partners was, it's in these moments where loyalty is formed. And so we have really taken that lens and remembered to be thoughtful in our approach and thankful for the business and looking at ways that we can share in the risk and pain where appropriate.
All right. You touched on a couple of offerings there, but any other areas of solution or service that you guys offered that are particularly suited or addressing the needs of a suddenly work from home world?
Yeah, we have just been, we've just been thinking about how we can enhance our SPIF program. We've launched, we just spent a lot of time getting really, really creative on getting our training and certification done. And I'll tell you, our training and certification has tripled during COVID. Why? Because everyone's at home, and they've got time to kind of, get this stuff done. But we got really, really creative with it and just started to kind of get groups together. We would send, Grubhub, out to the house and, send in lunch or dinner and get on a call for 90 minutes and just knock out what was required in terms of the certification and training. And the other piece of that is we would invite, on occasion, a few of our executives to just come in and thank the partner for their continued support. And that was always just well received from the partner to have our CEO come on. Our CFO has joined some meetings, our head of product and strategy, as well as our head of sales. And so it has been really, really fun to get them engaged in a lot of these trainings, and partners have just been so thankful for the approach that we've taken.
Yeah, there seem to be two kind of modes of action for partners. The running off your feet, trying to make sure all your customers are ready to face whatever the new normal looks like today. And the other one is spending some time and resources during maybe a little bit of downtime to invest in training and certification and those kinds of things. So it sounds like you're hitting that mark for sure. Beyond COVID or even within COVID, any other trends that you see out there that are kind of driving your customers' needs or things that your partners should be aware of?
Well, I think that there are there's a couple opportunities, right? I mean, and these are things that as you kind of think about, everybody's starting to look at how they need to respond in COVID, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, down to hairdressers that are having to do, their hair services outside now. But, the companies that are getting creative about how they're doing that is really, really important. Mm. There's been a dramatic expansion of collaboration tools and apps, obviously. So the focus is, SaaS solutions. And we're also seeing some of the service providers sort of capitalizing on this drive to, training revenue as well, right? So there's been some piece of that. There's been some shift, to MSP and cloud management capabilities, right? In terms of they're shifting their sales methodologies, they're building new sales and technical skills. And there's big, I would say there's been a bigger or maybe a greater demand to kind of foster this P2P collaboration and kind of matchmaking, right, in terms of how that all kind of fits together. So companies are starting to work together. We're seeing that happen quite a bit, relative to that.
Okay. You touched on some of the incentives that you guys have put in place recently, a little while ago, but can you drill down a little bit on what you guys are doing to make sure that partners can grow and maintain profitability right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say I mentioned we doubled the rewards on our current SPIF for new logos. And again, that new logo is about any new logo, and we're defining, you know, the new logo as anything that we haven't gotten into in the past 3 years, right? So there's kind of a way that we're kind of vetting those things. But we launched that in May, mm-hmm. And that was during this time so that they can continue to be profitable as it relates to it. But this is probably one of the most lucrative programs that we've kind of put in place, you know, to date at Infobox. So that's probably the biggest one. The other one I mentioned is around, we extended the 100% discount on partner not for resale, so allowing partners to get their equipment and demo equipment, and that's for our distributors, our platinum and our gold partners, 100% discount. We're going to just make sure that they have the equipment so that they can continue to invest in the solutions that they need to. And then again, we did the free trial offer on our Blocks One Threat Defense Advanced and Cloud, and that was a direct promotion to our partners as they're thinking about how to ensure that they're safe and secure during this COVID piece and beyond. So we continue to extend that as well.
So you've mentioned distribution a couple of times. I wonder if you could share with us who you're working with in distribution here in Canada, and kind of can you walk us through the overall distribution strategy?
Absolutely. Distribution remains a core tenet of our strategy. And we have a lot that we're leaning on for distribution. In Canada specifically, we're dealing with the cynics part of the organization there. And they have continued to be just a good working crew with us. They understand our strategy. They understand our core tenets of what is required. And where we start to look to our distributors is not only the transactional pieces, but as we look to, you know, how we increase insecurity, and especially as we pivot into SaaS, we're going to be looking to distribution in terms of the platforms that they're building and the connections that they already have, because that already becomes a very complex piece that I think that they're starting to understand for multiple vendors, and we want to take advantage of that piece as well.
Okay. Great. Can you talk to me a little bit what your plans are and what your strategy is for growth, both sort of globally and as an organization writ large, and closer to home here in Canada? What are kind of the elements of the growth strategy?
So our growth strategy is, and it sounds cliche, but it is getting the right partners in the right places and doing the right things.
Yeah.
And the reason that that's important is because it allows the partners to show up well, in a way. And, you know, I always share my goals with my partners. At every partner summit, I share the goals with the partners. Here's what we're asked to do, you know, specifically in the Americas. Here's what we're asked to do in Canada in terms of driving net new business, in terms of recruiting new security partners, in terms of expanding our presence in cloud. So partners are really, really invested in that process, because it's important that we align, because that becomes then how does that translate into the things that they're doing and how they're contributing to that. And so part of that means that, you know, we've been educating our account teams, I know it sounds kind of silly, on channel 101 and 102. Mm. Because as I came into this company that was historically a direct company, that then was doing 95% of their business, transacting 95% of their business through the channel, they still didn't understand how channel partners made money, what was important to them. You know, just sort of the basic building and tackling. And as a result of doing some of the channel 101 and 102, we started to create more leverage with partners. They now understand, okay, some of our partners are paid on margin. So when you're talking your final discount, how does that translate to them? Make sure you're having a conversation of what does that mean to them? Does that work for you? Making sure that we have kind of joint goals together. So that's been a huge improvement as we started to do that. The other big piece of how we're growing is we're leveraging our BDR organization, our business development resources, to align more with partners. Mm-hmm. This is an organization that is, you know, set to, they're having direct, you know, touch with our account team as well as customers, But as we think about that leverage through 95%, through partners, we want to make sure that if they're getting a lead, that they're feeding it back to the right partner, meaning the right partner that has the capabilities, that has demonstrated the value. So now we've got this great connection with BDRs where they're developing their own relationships, and now they're working off of a target list together with partners. And that's really been new. The other piece that is really starting to take fruit is our marketing and demand gen with partners to our customer base. And again, we didn't have a real way that we were doing that. And I know that, you know, this is always kind of a hard part, the advanced math equation in getting to market and marketing and demand gen. But we now have an automated tool. We have a way that we can share leads with partners and get feedback. And so, you know, I know it seems, you know, fairly basic, but it was one of the things that we didn't have in place. And so now we have these things in place. And as we close kind of our fiscal year today and our quarter end, and we think about the success that we're going to have in our next fiscal year, having these foundational pieces will be really, really important.
All right. Great. What's sort of your general advice or guidance to partners these days? These are obviously interesting times for everyone. What are you telling partners to keep in mind?
Well, I think, my advice would be, and again, I know that we've kind of heard this before, but is to focus on the business outcomes now more than ever.
Right.
Now more than ever. And part of that means that we've got to think about strategic, you know, IoT. We've got to start thinking about more vertical focus. We've got to start thinking about digital transformation. It starts to get really complex and heavy. So the way that I always sort of simplify that is to really go back to the business outcome and make sure that we're clear about what that looks like. And that will define the focus areas if you continue to focus on that business outcome.
All right. We've covered a lot of territory, but is there anything else you wanted to throw in there that you think the channel should know about Infoblox right now?
So listen, I think I would just say, that, you know, Infoblox is leading in their space. If I were a partner sort of thinking about the vendors that I'm going to go to market with, mm-hmm. I would evaluate that and say, is this vendor growing? And the answer is yes. Even through COVID, we have seen tremendous growth. I would say, do they have a partnering strategy? And the answer is yes. We have a partnering strategy that is working. We continue to add resources into that. I would tell you that most of the resources coming out of investment are going into the channel in terms of channel account managers, channel SEs. And so we continue to make investments in that area. We continue to look through the lens of the partner in terms of what is most important to them in terms of program profitability and execution. And I would just say, you know, listen, it's a company that's run by good humans. And the feedback has always been that partners just really like working, you know, with us. And so at the end of the day, and especially when in times like this, where we talk about where loyalty is being formed, one of the things that we do really well is we show up really well, and we'll get it done, and we align, and we enjoy the things we do, and we value partners and respect their contribution. And that doesn't come easy, but this is a company that does.
All right. Lori, once again, appreciate your time. Thanks for educating us on what's going on at Infoblox, and I'm sure we shall be chatting again soon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
There you have it, Infoblox 101 with Lori Kornmesser. I'd like to thank Lori for joining us for the show, thank Infoblox for their support of the site, and of course, thank you for listening. We'll be back with another edition of the podcast this Friday as we're joined by Bill Brandel of Ingram Micro Canada to discuss how his organization has changed and what it's seeing in the era of COVID-19. It's a fascinating look at how distribution is coping with the pandemic, and distribution is always a great way to look at how the market is doing because they have great visibility at both vendor their priorities and customer demand through their solution provider customers. Before then, though, we'd invite you to subscribe to the podcast. You'll find us on either Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts to be sure you don't miss an episode. Until Friday, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.